The notion that we have developed over the years that we have been meeting is possibly an erroneous notion that the only thing that Rav Kook wrote was a fancy esoteric philosophy with terms that are just mind-boggling. Oh yes, it's true. There are volumes upon volumes of this material. But Rav Kook, I must remind you, as I did in our very first year, our very first season that we met, what is this, the third, the fourth? I don't remember. Whatever, the third season that we're meeting, Rav Kook, in the estimation of even the Chofetz Chaim, was one of the greatest Talmidei Chachomim from the halachic aspect, the Hazal Posek, that who existed in the first part of the 20th century. The Chazon Ish stood in awe of the man. Rav Henkin, the dean of the American rabbinate, but the American rabbinate means he was the Posek of the world. He was Rav Moshe's Posek. I saw it with my own eyes, as I mentioned. Rav Henkin openly wrote that if you look at the Chazon Ish on the one hand and Rav Kook on the other hand, Rav Kook was the greater Talmud Chacham, was the bigger Bucky in all areas of Torah, just as you had said, Afilu Sefer Torah Shebehechal is Tali B'Mazel. The Mazel is that the world adopted the Chazon Ish Shita and the Chazon Ish Shir and everything. But if you look at it ounce for ounce, Rav Kook was the greater Talmud Chacham. In recent months, the various satellite yeshivas of Rav Kook, such as the yeshiva in Shiloh, Rav Neria, who's the head of Bnei Akiva yeshivas, also yeshiva Ateres Kohanim, which is in Yerushalayim. These are all Rav Kook satellites. These are all Talmidim Chassidim of Rav Kook. They have started to furiously publish new anthologies of Rav Kook's material, and the big push now is to publish the halachic parts and also the parts that he wrote that can go daf al daf, page by page, of various masechtas. Brachas, he wrote a perush on all of the Haggadot of Brachas.
He did?
Yes. It's now published.
Or was never published before.
It was in manuscript form, and much of what there is a lot in manuscript that still exists. Yeah. But even greater is throughout all of his works, he constantly is referring to Gemaras and Chazal and interpreting them within the context of his tshuvas, within the context of his letters. Because he was writing to Talmidei Chachomim and for Talmidei Chachomim also, they are now taking it and arranging all of that material in the order of the Masechta. They did Psochim already. They did Ervin. They did Ksuvus already. They did Shabbos, and it's rolling off of the presses. In addition,
it's like what they did for Alatavia
for the Siddur. 100%.
For the Siddur. The Siddur is not even my fashion. The Siddur, they put it all together.
100%. That's all.
No, they did that with the Rambam. They rearrange it according to Masechta? According to
Rambam, according to Masechta?
I don't know.
Chumash. I showed you on Chumash.
The Rambam on
Chumash. All right. Yeah, 100%. This is what I hope to capitalize on. I'm going to try to put together a series of his comments on the Gemara, supplementing them with his philosophical and, you know, his machshava work on a theme, so that we will be working in Pirkei Gemara as well as Rav Kook. If I have the zechiah, the merit of the Yishuv Hadas, what I would hope to be able to do, ultimately, this is not a promise, this is b'li neder, is to try to explore with you those who didn't see it like Rav Kook, and try to get in between the lines. or to put it positively, you know that a personality of an individual, as I've said many times, is totally unified. You are the same wherever you are. A giant like Rav Kook is surely a unified individual, a consistent individual. So that if he writes this way and not the other way, while I acknowledge Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that what the Satmar Rebbe said is as much Torah as Rav Kook, but I'm trying to show you how the personality of Rav Kook that we have developed throughout these years around this table, that his Torah fits in exactly with his personality.
Maybe this is out of line, but honestly, this is a little bit what I was asking when I said about people restructuring. You know, my thought was sort of along these lines, in a sense that a person, you know, because a person becomes a Baal Teshuva, it doesn't mean he leaves his, you know, his prior structure behind. He takes this structure with him into, you know, into the das. I mean, into the das with an iron.
But the restructuring is using the using negative factors, negative and sometimes dysfunctional factors in his personality, restructured to be able to be applied in its positive sense. You see.
Okay.
That is the secret of the Baal Teshuva, is Bedavke to be able to take all the taivas and all of the distancing that you had and through what you have inherited to be able to come and turn that around. That's unquestionably restructuring. You see. So let's begin with a concept called Avraham Avinu. And I chose my words carefully. A concept. Those are not my words. That in one simple word is the total teaching of Rav Kook. Not only Rav Kook, but certainly Rav Kook on the personality or concerning the personality of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is not a person, he's a concept. What's that concept? We'll try to do it within the space of two Gemaras. Maybe we ought to learn the two Gemaras first, and then we'll come back to see the Rav Kook on it. The first Gemara on page 1 is from Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Omud Beis, and I've reprinted it from, because it is Agadita, not Halachic portion necessarily, I reprinted it from the Ein Yaakov. So that's why the page may be a little unfamiliar to you. In the box. We are talking about Arvei Pesachim and in the Mishnah concerning the structure of Magid, the structure of the Haggadah. And the Mishnah said, V'chosein b'geula, after what you have to put in, starting with Manishtana, then you continue piece by piece and the Gemara builds what you say in Magid and Chosein b'geula. The end of Magid, before you start eating matzah and maror and korech, the end of Magid is you have to say a bracha that ends with the concept of Geula, of redemption. Omar Rava, to which Rava says, Kriyashma v'Hallel, at the end of the brachas of Kriyashma that we say every single day, Shachris and Arvis, and at the end of Hallel that we say on Rosh Chodesh whenever there's a Kolban and so on and so forth, we say in the ending bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Go'al Yisrael, in the past tense, referring back to the Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But Ditzelosa, in Shmona Esrei, of every single day, Baruch Ato Hashem, Go'al Yisrael, in the present, today, at 9 o'clock, and at 9:01, and at 9:02, and at 12:05, and at 7:03, you are a Goel Yisrael, which is the bracha, of Goel Yisrael. Ki, because Goel Chozok Oto, in the present tense, you are the Goel, you are the Redeemer. Always, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. And while it has nothing to do with Avraham Avinu, it's just a halachic aside, if you mispronounce that Goel Yisrael, and say Go'al Yisrael of past tense, you've got to repeat it. You've got to say Go'al Yisrael.
Where is Hallel? At the end of the last bracha, the bracha at the end of Hallel.
Melech Mehulal What did you call?
Yaluch Hashem kol ma'asecha, achasidecha, tzadikim oser etzanecha, olam cho beis Yisrael, eno yodi v'roch v'shavn, ki lecha tov lo dos v'shim chana lezamer, ki mi'olam v'adamu mat'el v'hoto Hashem. Where are we talking about?
No, but in the...
excuse me, the Hallel of... Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why the difference between the past tense and the present tense, and the question is on what? Is on why in Shmon Esrei do we have to put it in the present tense? Answers the Gemara, the Rachamei Ninu, because Shmon Esrei, the essence of Shmon Esrei is asking for Rachamim. Asking for mercy is not history. Now, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I need you. Today, I need your Geula today. Omar Abzeho. Rab Zera continued in the same vein to develop differences in brachas.
It's interesting the way Rashi takes it not as a present, but seems to take it as a future.
That's the philosophy of dictum.
Well, he takes it as a future.
Yeah, but the atid is now. Pardon my expression, we want Mashiach. It doesn't say we want Mashiach atid. We want Mashiach now. And now means ba'afal pisha yitmamea in kol zeh achakelo, from now into the future. Every now is a future. A past is a past. You can never convert it into a future. You see, you can only learn from the past unto the future. So the present is a future.
It has to be from the New York.
What?
You can't
dumb
something in the past.
It's a tefillah shov. Okay, Omar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera continues with another set of brachas. Dikidusha, when we come to Kiddush, we say Asher Kitshanu Mitzasov et Sivonu. Titzlosa, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, the Amidah of Shabbos, it's Kadshenu B'mitzvosecha. Okay. Nothing more than stylistic. My Tama. Again, why are we saying in Brachos Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvosov et Sivonu, which is third person? We're talking about God as a third person, He God. But in the Amida of Shabbos, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avosenu Ritzeivenu Chaseinu Kadshenu v'Mitzvosecha, we are talking in the second person directly to God. Why? Because the second person is Rachamei Ninu. We're talking straight to the Ribbono Shel Olam, asking Him for the Rachamim of Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, accept. All right? Ritzeivenu Chaseinu. Third one. Omar Avacha Bar Yaakov, v'tzarich she'yaskir yitzias Mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom. As long as we're talking about Kiddush of Shabbos is Zeche l'maaseh b'reishis.
Is that the connection here?
Wait, hold on. The connection to what? Forgive me, I didn't understand.
What's the connection to what came before? What does it mean?
The only connection is the stylistic differences, amora by amora, of the mnemonic devices that each one gave, legabi the brachas, the nusach of brachas.
So, I mean, what Rav Abba Yaakov brings to each Yaskir Yitzhak Mitzrayim B'Kiddush Hayom? Just because they happen to mention the word Kiddush? Is that the only connection?
Probably, but...
There's no more thematic connection?
Well, look again, Rashi.
It's always complaining.
Tzor she'yaski yitzias Mitzrayim b'kiddush hayom, bein bakos, bein b'tfila shel Shabbos. You understand? We were talking about tfila shel Shabbos. As long as we are talking about tfila shel Shabbos, kachenu b'mitzvasecha, so let's go take it a little further. Not only are we worried about the second person and the third person, but when we're talking about Shabbos, whether in Kiddush or in Shmona Esrei, Shabbos is Zeche L'Masei Bereshis, V'Tzorich, says Rav Achol Bar Yaakov, in addition, Sheyazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Kiddush Hayom, because we have the second Luchos that we have to worry about. The first Luchos, it was Zeche L'Masei Bereshis. The second Luchos, L'man Tiskoris, you know, Ki Eved HaYisav Eretz Mitzrayim. Ksiv hocho leman tiskoros yom, ksiv hosom zochores yom ha-shabbos le-kadosho. In Devarim Tes Zayin, which is the place of, not Perek Tes Zayin necessarily, but that is the sefer of Yetzias Mitzrayim according to Moshe Rabbeinu, he reminded them in the second Luchos, as he repeated in Sefer Devarim, that the issue wasn't only Zeche L'Maaseh Bereishis, but I had to fight Paro over there to get him to allow you off one day out of the seven. And in Shmos, shortly after, in the Aseret HaDibros, it says Zohar Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho, and there in Yisro in Shmos, it refers to the Inyan of Maaseh Bereishis. Another halacha of the same style, Omar Rabba Bar Shelo, Ditzilosa. When you're in Shmone Esrei, Es Semach David Abdecho Meheras Atzmiach, when you ask for David's kingdom to be restored, you end off Baruch Ata Hashem, Matzmiach Karen Yeshua. Uda Haftarto, in the Haftarah, it's Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen David. Simple, no chidush other than to know that in the same subject of the brachas, once we end this way, once we end that way, more than mnemonic devices you don't have here. As long as we are talking, however, about how to end off brachas, there's yet one other bracha that we are going to consider, and that's Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham. The Gemara begins that discussion by quoting a pasuk concerning David HaMelech. This was the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your name will be as great and as prestigious as the greatest on the face of the earth. Rav Yosef learned in a brisa, Zeh she'omrim Magen David. That's why we go ahead and say, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David. The Rabbanu Shalom, because of this immense hashgacha and immense protection that this man, David HaMelech, had from the Rabbanu Shalom throughout the 70 years of his life, he was capable of going ahead and becoming a David HaMelech, because any other normal human being without hashgacha could not have sustained all of the nisyonos, all of the trials and tribulations. Finish. The Gemara continues. Lagabe Avram Avinu, Hashem promised Ve'ezcha L'goy Gadol. I will make you a great nation. To which Omar Reish Lakish explained, Zeh she'omrim Elokei Avraham. That's why in Shmona Esrei we start Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, and because of the promise, Ve'ezcha L'goy Gadol, I'll make you a great nation, we say Elokei Avraham. The pasuk of the promise to Avram Avinu is not only that you'll be great in numbers, Va'avorcha, to which Reish Lakish says, if because of Avorcha I'll bless you, Zeh she'omrim Elokei Yitzchok. This is what we mean, that Avram Avinu had a Yitzchok to be able to continue and expand upon that which Avraham laid the foundation. Not only that, the pasuk continues with Avram Avinu, not only will you be a great nation and you'll have bracha, va'agadlo shemecha, you will have incredible fame, your name will be known and famous, says Reish Lakish, Zeh she'omrim Elokei Yaakov. Okay? To be able, a grandfather and a son and a grandson, to walk in the same path and each one building on top of the next. Nope. That's the biggest bracha of them all. This is representative, and these should be our kavonas when we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. Asks Reish Lakish, Yachol Yehud Yachoslim B'chulam. As long as we started the bracha of Shmona Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, and this is the concept of the building blocks of generations, why don't in the end of the bracha, Melech Ozer Moshiach Magen, you were a Melech Ozer who helped Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Moshiach, you saved each one of them from devastation. Magen, you protected every single one of them, as all of Sefer Bereishis shows us. Mm-hmm. Why don't we end off Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, like we started the bracha. Yachol, I may think that we have to end Yehu Chosmin Bechulam, Talmud Lomar. No. There's another way of looking at it. The end of the pasuk to Avraham Avinu was Veheyei Bracha. Heyei Bracha is in the singular. You will be the source of Bracha. Becha Yehu Chosmin Velo Bechulam. There is a certain unique aspect which we will call the Bracha that Avraham Avinu possesses, not that he got, but that he possessed. There's a certain concept about Avraham Avinu that was indigenous to Avraham Avinu. I admit, Yitzhak and Yaakov built on it, but it was with Avraham Avinu. We have to discover that concept, says Rav Kook. Okay? We'll discover it, because on page 2, in other words, the second column of what you're reading, we have in front of us what he said on this Gemara. We'll come to it in a moment. Let's take a look at the second piece of Gemara, which was in Brachos, and then we'll dabble for the rest of the time that we have, we'll dabble in this concept called Avraham Avinu. The Gemara, which is marked on page 3, is reprinted from this new printing of Rav Kook's Perush to Maseches Brachos on the Agadita, and it's Ein Ayah. The sefer he called it, the title that he gave it was Ein Ayah, published in Tovshin Mem Zayin, and did not arrive in this country until this year, Tovshin Mem Ches. I didn't see it in this country, but I was able to get it in Eretz Yisrael. I was amazed. I knew of its existence, but I didn't know that it was printed. There is so much that he has written on the Agadat of Brachos that it needs 2 volumes. So only 5 prokim of Brachos have been printed.
What's the whole thing?
Ayah, Avram, Yitzhak HaKohen. Alright? Ein, and this is his perspective. Ayin.
Well, it's also a takeoff.
Okay, yeah, okay. Fine. This is his perspective. Okay. Says the Gemara, in its Brachos Daftes. When Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, so the command came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber no ba'oznei ha'om. I beg you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to talk to the Jews, that they should ask, v'yishalu klei chesef v'chalei zohav, they should go to their Egyptian neighbors and ask to borrow gold and silver utensils and clothing and so on. Amrei deber Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai commented that this pasuk ain no elo lashon bakasha. Okay? The Rabbanu Shel Olam pleaded to Moshe Rabbeinu, I beg you to beg them to do it. There's a lot at stake if you're begging someone. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, this is what's at stake. B'vakasha mimcha, I am begging you that you give your best effort. Leich ve'emor lahem, go tell Bnei Yisrael, b'vakasha mikem, that I am begging you. Sha'alu mimitzchayim klei chesef v'chlei zohav. You've got to go ahead and ask them. Why? Shelo yomar osad tzadik, that Avraham Avinu shouldn't come and complain to me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, later on, that va'avodum v'inu osam, when it came, you promised that you'd make them avodim, slaves, and you would torture them, that you did. Is kiyem b'hem. That, Ribbono Shel Olam, you made sure it happened. Okay? But what about your promise at that same time, v'achechen yetzu b'chush gadol, that they will leave wealthy people as a result of this, lo kiyem b'hem, and that you didn't take care of. So one, when it came to the pain, you were around. Now, what is important in this Gemara is the concept of Avraham Avinu. Who was the first human being who pinned the Ribbono Shel Olam's back to the wall in a Din Torah?
Avraham Avinu.
Avraham Avinu. That's the concept called of Avraham Avinu. And Rav Yanai is trying to tell you the Ribbono Shel Olam got kitzitat. He shivered from this concept called Avraham Avinu. Leman asher yitzave esbonov, we'll read in a couple of weeks, because the essence of the concept of Avraham Avinu is, I know he took his children and he told them that the way in this world, if you want to be my progeny, is la'asos tzedakah u'mishpat. You will be producers, mass producers of tzedakah, of righteousness, and mishpat and justice. And if the Ribono Shel Olam has to be called to task, ha'shofet kol ha'aretz lo ya'aseh mishpat, if the judge of the world has got to be called up for malpractice, who is the one who taught the world that you will demand of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a din Torah? I ain't tangling, says Rav Yanai. The Ribono Shel Olam don't want to tangle with Avraham Avinu. He tangled once and he won fair and square. This time he doesn't want to tangle with Avraham Avinu. Amrlo, so the Jews said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he asked them, Ulevai shenitzei batzmeinu, look, let us just live to leave. Let us have the greatest gift. We'll be our own self. We should get out alive. You want a moshal? Moshal adam. What were they, how were they thinking? If I can give you an illustration. Person shayachavush beveis asurim, he is in jail. Vayu amrim lo b'nei adam, and people outside of jail were telling him, Limachar motzi yinotcha, tomorrow you're going to be free. Mi beis asurim. The nosnim lecha mamon arbe, if you'll wait till tomorrow, if you can hold out, tomorrow you'll also, not only will you gain your freedom, but you will be given a tremendous reparations for having put you in jail and denied you your freedom. Omer lahem, so he yells out to the other side of the jail, listen, people, bevakasha mitchem, hotziyuni miyad veini mevakesh klum, do me a favor, bust me out of this joint now and I don't want a penny. Simple as that, let me get out. Okay, the rest of the Gemara is only tangential, but do you hear the way I'm trying to get you to relate a la Rav Kook to Avraham Avinu as a concept? And we've said nothing new. Some of you've seen these Gemaras, you've heard them in Drushas, nothing new. Now let's see how forceful he wants it. We turn back to page 2, his comments. This is a very subtle concept. I'll just give you one bit of introduction. There is nothing in this world that doesn't have two aspects and two elements. The manifest aspect, that which you see, the surface, and the inside that you don't see. The kishkis that you don't see. Okay? You look at the refrigerator, so you only see the very beautiful exterior. But the kishkis, the ugly kishkis that from the compressor, that the blower accumulates all the dust and everything underneath, is deeply hidden, because you couldn't sell a single refrigerator as ugly as those kishkis are. You see, has to be deeply hidden. But what's the essence of the refrigerator? The beautiful box or the kishkis? Tragically, we pay fortunes for the latest style and the latest colors when the kishkis are the same. He says, in the Olam HaEmes, in the true world, you have to understand that it's just the opposite. Now, we're not denying that the aspect that you see, in other words, the form of something, is not important. But if you don't get to the essence, to the kishkis of the refrigerator, to the compressor underneath, and understand how good that is, then you don't understand what's going on. Avraham Avinu is no different in this analysis. There is the Avraham Avinu whose midos are galia, are manifest, and you see it, and then there are the midos that are iskasya, michuse, that are not seen. Now let's see how he works that out. Line 2, Kosuv Agad Lo Shemecha, your name will be great. So ask Rav Kook, Madua Yifo Rak Bechachos Min. Okay, so your name will be great. But there was also Yitzchak and Yaakov, and I may interpolate here. You should know a klal in every bracha. that whatever is contained in the bracha must be summarized in the chasima, in the ending of the bracha. Now, if we started with Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, then the chasima of the bracha should have been Magen, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why only you? On line 3, he says, Rav Kook lifnei habris haya Avraham bivchinas alma diskasya. Before this bris of Mitzrayim, of Shibud Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim, Avraham was a world that was unknown, that was covered. La'achal habris, after the bris, nitosfa lo Hashem mibchinas alma disgalya. The midah of something which is manifest went ahead and was added. What do we mean? Hakinyan shel Eretz Yisrael. After the bris, Eretz Yisrael was his. Al yedei Avraham Avinu. He was the agent. Is hayat tzarich liyot nishtei abchinos. You needed the two aspects to this Eretz Yisrael being owned by Avraham Avinu. One is mibchinas iskasya, haisahariya. There was the essential element, or that which you don't see. Zo bchinas seichel vahasoga. That logically, this land belongs to Eretz Yisrael, belongs to Avraham Avinu. And also, mibichinas izgalya, the manifest part of Avraham Avinu was, ha'isaha alicha shel kum hisalech ba'aretz la'ocha la'achba. Logically speaking, we see in Avraham Avinu traveling from the north to the south and from the east to the west. Who does such a thing, traveling from north to south and east to west? Someone who owns his property, and he goes out and he sees it. Shezek kinyan shel chazoka v'kibush. This is what we talk about, chazoka, being able to have legal rights, and kibush, being able to conquer it. He says, you've got to understand that this corresponds, on line 7, yesh le'Eretz Yisrael shtei kidushos, to the two dimensions of kedusha that Eretz Yisrael has. And here, this is very subtle. First is kedushas gush. Gush means a solid block. The physical kedusha that descends on the physical earth of Eretz Yisrael. And that earth is Mekudosh, where Syria is not, Lebanon is not, and Munsi is not either. Mm-hmm. You see. That's Kedushas Gush. Then there's a second Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. And it's a legal concept. It's called heir rights. Okay? I have a piece of property here on this lot called the size 150 by 50. So I have air rights all the way up. Not only on the ground. It's Kedushas Avia. The atmosphere above it is my right also. That is a separate Kedusha. And what does that represent? Kedushas Gush, the Kedusha of the physical land is mivia osa kedushas mivia ita kedushat hamitzvot. Because the land, the earth, has a kedusha, that's why we have mitzvot satlius ba'aretz that make it manifest as kodosh. Kedushas hamitzvot zu kedusha diskalia. You see the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, because here in America you only have to worry about whether the meat is kosher. And the fish is kosher. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to ask if Trumas and Masas are taken off. Mm-hmm. You understand? Right. That's the Kedusha. You have to ask if this is for a Kohen, and you have to ask if a Kohen is Tome, and if this is for a Levi. You see. That's all physical Kedusha as a result of the land, the Gush. That's what results from the land. Kedusha samitzvah zu kedusha disgalya. And when it comes to this physical aspect, he says, this is a parenthetical statement, but it certainly is a subtle one. V'yachol gam l'umos olam lihiyos b'hem achiza al yedei kiyum sheva mitzvah shenistavu b'nei noach. How does the kedusha of the land of Yerushalayim, of Tel Aviv, and B'nei Brak, and Kfar HaRoeh, and Kfar Hasidim, and Be'er Sheva, how does the land manifest itself? By the mitzvos that are attached to this land. You said mitzvos? that a goy who observes seven mitzvahs has a part of that kedushas eretz yisrael by virtue of what? By virtue of his seven mitzvahs. Okay. The same way the Jew is bound by the kedushas gush because of the mitzvahs that he has to observe here. You're sitting in eretz yisrael, you're a goy, so you have seven mitzvahs. That gives you a chelek that allows you to fuse with the kedusha of eretz yisrael. Ki mitzion Tetzei Torah, and Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are Torah.
Of course, that's for the goy. That alludes to the goy that keeps the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach.
And that is the Kedusha of the Tzelem Elokim in him. You see what I'm saying? He has to. A goy in Eretz Yisrael must keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, otherwise you're not entitled to be there.
That's the philosophy of many... You know, outside the Koch movement, I mean, there are a great number of, you know, the religious and in the right-wing camp who are willing to accept the Arabs and the Christians in Eretz Israel
as legal residents.
You know, as residents, as long as they act as civilized human beings.
That was the whole concept of Yeshua. As the Rambam puts it at the end of Hilchos Malachim, when Yeshua came, 31 times he sent three letters to every one of the cities that he ultimately went to war with, and he said, our conditions are, and the conditions were, you have to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach.
But you know, this is not only have to keep, you also have to keep them, because they're custom B'Torah.
What do you mean?
He says also that
you are a bria, you are a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows Kedusha on all of his creations. You are a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Echad Yochid Umiyuchad. And when you observe those Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, you have the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all. We don't talk about other gods. It doesn't exist. We don't talk about other religions. It doesn't exist. We only talk about human beings. And there are some human beings that have Sheva Mitzvahs and are entitled legally to the Sheva Mitzvahs. And there are others, because of historical circumstances, who have to accept Tayyat Mitzvahs. Simple as that. But Kedusha? No human being has a right to abrogate. And if you are on the Gush, if you are on this element called the borders of Eretz Yisrael, from that land there must spring Kedusha. And the method, the isgalia, the way to show the Kedusha, is the observance of the mitzvahs. And for the Jew, it's the mitzvahs atluyos ba'aretz, plus everything else. Excuse me? And for the goy, it is the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach that gives you an attachment to the gush that is Kodosh.
But the attachment to this Kedusha, that's its isgalia, can only be through the mitzvot.
100%. That's it. That is the solvent that allows the fusing of the human and the gush. Because remember, they are the same. Ki oforato ve'el oforatoshuv. It's the same element. What welds them together, the earth and the animated earth, which is the human being, what welds them together to be able to join and to fuse is the mitzvahs. By the way, you must know that aside from all other reasons, from a hashkofa point of view, from a Kabbalah point of view, a pnimius, a nister point of view, the notion that the Kohen doesn't go up to Duchum with shoes on, is that there not be a chatzitza, that there not be a foreign separation between the Kedushas Haaretz, which is creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kedushas Odom, and they come together. When there is this coming together, then this allows for the reception of brachas. Anything you do to unify the disparate elements of the world allows for the tzinor of bracha, for the pipes of bracha to spill over.
Interesting.
You see. Now, I know, you look at the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara tells you, you take off your shoes because of a takana, that if you had sandals on, and ritzuos, you had the straps, and it started to slip down, then you'd reach down and then try to fix your shoes, and you wouldn't be, you know, you're touching your shoes, you'd have to wash your hands again. I know all that. I know all that, but that's a different level. That's the anisgalia, the iskasia, is this, that the kohen has direct contact with Mother Earth. Okay, Mother Earth. So we have these two concepts. Now let's apply it. Now we have to go a little further. We got to dig a little deeper. He says. Now, if you're troubled on line 9, the end of line 9, if you're troubled by this concept, he says, of Goyim, remember that Lifnei Nesinas HaTorah Amru Chazal, before the Torah was given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, and they say it in the form Ala Kosov, in the Pasuk in Vezos HaBrocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hofia Mehal Paron, he appeared from the mountain of Paron, which is in the desert of Paran, okay, Va'osam Mirivavos Kodesh, and he came to multitudes of holy people. And we learn from this pasuk, Melameid, this teaches us, Sheitziya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lifnei Esav Lifnei Yishmol Lekabel Es HaTorah. He allowed Esav's children and Yishmol's descendants to accept the Torah. V'im Hitziya Lahem Rak, if he only suggested it to them, Af Shelo Kiblu, even though they rejected it, Simon sheyesh lahem kitzas achiz of shaychus mitzad mitzvos b'nei Noach shenichnesu achar kach b'tayag mitzvos. It means if I suggest a deal to you, it is not entirely absurd. You have a right to reject the deal. Thank you, but no thank you. But would I sell you something that is impossible for you to use? Okay. You wouldn't buy. I would. A salesman goes where he knows that there's a probability of making a sale. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Esav and Yishmael because Esav and Yishmael were B'nai Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. You see, if that's the case, I have a good chance for a sale. Hey, that you rejected it, I hear what you say. I hear what you're saying. You rejected it. You didn't want the sale. But the implication on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you goy have the same achiza, the same ability to hold on to mitzvahs as B'nai Yisrael. Except now that you rejected it, take 7 and don't take Talyag. Yeah.
Here, Shabbos afternoon, Rosh Hashanah, Avodah Zarah, we're learning about number 2. Okay, number 1, Yisrael with Ron.
Okay, no.
Number 2 with Paras.
No.
Where does he come from?
Who, Paras?
He was number 2 on the
list. Iranians are from outer space.
Yeah.
Okay, what? Come on. I have to be totally consistent there, you know?
From one of those to the next.
All right. Obviously, Paras represents in Chazal, even though it's not exact, that second power, like Jerry had said, that which is Yishmael, which is Islam.
Seems like I got an opening. At the end of the service, I talked about Eretz Yisrael, and they mentioned also Bavel. Yeah. And that it has Kedusha.
Right, sure.
Which Kedusha are we talking about? Are they claiming for Bavel?
Definitely not. Kedusha Diskalia, the Kedusha Zagush.
Is it because of the amount of Torah they're wearing there?
Yes, 100%. That's the Kedusha Zavir of atmosphere. That they were able in the atmosphere of a Bavel, of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, of Persian Zoroastrians,
oh, yeah,
to go ahead and create a language of Torah that even the Malachim understand. The only cognate language to Lashon HaKodesh that may have some Kedusha. But not the Gush. Not the land. And Rebbe was clear on that. You want Smicha, you're not going back to Bavel. The Smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu has to have the Kedusha Sargush. You're going to be here. Not only the Kedusha Savir, not only the atmosphere, the inner Kedusha of Torah, but here, on this land, with all its trials, with all its tribulations, with all its sakonas, but that kedusha never, never can be abrogated. I'm not giving you smicha.
And it got that kedusha. When did it first?
From a concept called Avraham Avinu.
From from the Avraham.
From a concept called Avraham. Mm.
And that can't be brought anyplace else.
No. No. To paraphrase the Novi Yeshayahu, Echad Haya Avraham. There was only one Avraham, there never will be another. And that's where you marched, La'arka Ularachra, and nowhere else. That is the Kiddushah. And it's manifest after Avraham Avinu by the way we observe the mitzvahs, by the way we relate to the karka. Simple. But by the way, we're only defining terms now. We still haven't gotten to the true concept. Only a definition. Setting up a very long definition.
Wow.
All right? Afsha omnom, the end of line 12. Afsha omnom, even though Shazayin mitzvos edu, that these seven mitzvos kiblu achar katsura teres bekabolas ator al b'nei Yisrael, even though these mitzvos, once incorporated into the Tayyav mitzvos, created for b'nei Yisrael a whole new Torah.
But even for them, it created a new Torah.
100%. It took on new substance of Kedusha. Even so, because even though the new and intense and deeper meaning at Kabbalah's HaTorah were applied to these seven mitzvahs, so these seven mitzvahs were transformed. Don't say that the seven mitzvahs up until